moxie, force of character, determination, or nerve. I'm Sierra Benson, and you're listening to The Moxie Mindset. This podcast is designed to help you grow a healthier, growth-oriented mindset. I've reached out to college professors and professionals who have agreed to come into the studio to help us learn more in depth about the communication and leadership skills we need to succeed. Thank you for joining us on The Moxie Mindset. I'm super stoked for today's episode. Dr. Susan R. Madsen is the inaugural Karen Height Huntsman Endowed Professor of Leadership in the John M. Huntsman School of Business at Utah State University. She is also the founding director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project, which focuses on strengthening the impact of Utah girls and women. Through the years, Professor Madsen has written a host of Utah research and policy briefs and snapshots, reports, and op-eds. She is also a well-known global scholar, publishing 6 books and hundreds of articles, chapters, and reports. Madsen's research has been featured in the U.S. News & World Report, The Atlantic, The New York Times, Parenting Magazine, Chronicle of Higher Education, The Washington Post, and she is a regular contributor to Forbes. She speaks globally and in 2019 did keynotes in the United Arab Emirates, the U.K., Lithuania, Germany, and Denmark. She serves on or advises many nonprofits, community and education boards and communities, including Silicon Slopes, Envision Utah, Better Days 2020, Real Women Run, Utah Financial Empowerment Coalition, Women's Leadership Institute, and more. Madsen received a bachelor's degree from BYU, master's from Portland State University, and a doctorate from the University of Minnesota. Thank you so much, Dr. Madsen, for coming on today. You've had a great busy day talking about so many interesting subjects of which you've researched and studied. You also have a leadership project based on Utah Woman that I find so interesting. I've been on the website a couple of times. How have your experiences been with it? What are you researching?
So lots of interesting things. Let me give your listeners a little bit of background. So I actually started the project about 12 years ago. Initially at the request of the Commissioner of Higher Education in the Governor's Office, because women have been graduating at lower rates from college than women in other states. And so I started it, and it was just going to be a one-year project, and now it's many, many years later. So very quick, the project really is called the Utah Women in Leadership Project, and the mission is to strengthen the impact of Utah girls and women. I love being a woman. I love living in Utah. But there are some tweaks we need to make in terms of women's leadership and gender equity and those kinds of things. So our project really focuses on, we're the main hub of research in the whole state on gender, on women's leadership, on things related to that. So we do research, then we develop resources, and those can be things like podcasts, infographics, videos, curriculum for girls and women. And then we also run a lot of events, and we have had fabulous events this fall. You can find the recordings on our website. A really wonderful one was on gender and race, the intersection between gender and race. Oh my gosh. What discussions did we have? I had two Black women on there and a sociologist from campus here at Utah State University, Dr. Christy Glass, was on there.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. She's also been on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. She's great. And then Sui Lang, who is a woman of color as well and does a lot of diversity. And yesterday I just did a program with 3 women leaders in the state for the Covey Leadership Center in the Huntsman School. So we do a lot of things like that. I work with the legislators and so forth. So that's a little bit about my project. utwomen.org is the website. We have a monthly listserv. I just send one email a month. You're probably on the list now.
I am.
And to just give an update of what's out there. So anybody interested in diversity and inclusion, especially gender. And it's very, we welcome men into the conversation. We have research on male allies. So in terms of your question on what some of the research we're doing right now, we've done research on so many topics. You've looked at our website from politics to boards and commissions in the state, from sexual assault to cosmetic surgery, and where we're at compared to the nation, mammography, all kinds of different topics. But right now, we've been running a four-part series on women in government. Not as much about women in elected positions, but women working in government in the state of Utah. And, you know, the state of Utah is one of the biggest employers, right? Because so many things in cities and counties and towns in the state are really funded by government. So there's a lot of women, a lot of men working in government. So we've done an analysis to see where we're at in terms of those things. And then the one that's coming out just in 2 weeks is a qualitative study on, we had 450 women in the state participate from all levels of government on what's working, what biggest challenges they have, and also kind of their advice. So we'll be releasing that in a couple of weeks. So we really enjoy doing that. We have good following of teenagers and college-age students and then women of all ages. So I enjoy doing the work, and I'm happy to be at Utah State University with that. I'm really excited as well to work with Extension. So they have a presence all over the state. You probably know that. And statewide campuses to really get these messages out to women and girls all over the state and every corner. And you know what? The cool thing is, we don't know any other states that's doing what we're doing in terms of the project, that really are trying to unite all the women's groups around the whole state. We're kind of the hub to really, it's all about social change. It's all about changing people's lives, changing families for good, you know, and really lifting women. And by the way, there's many people that think, especially men in the state, that if you lift girls and women, if you give them more opportunities, you actually take boys and men down. So it's called a zero-sum mentality. So it's like, well, if someone's doing better, then it must take away from me. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a zero-sum mentality. So I love it when people get this, especially good men, when they say, actually, I shouldn't be threatened because I can lift, you know, women. And actually, I can lift myself. I can lift other boys and men. It's not either or. And I've written a lot about that. I don't know if you've followed any of my editorials for the Tribune and the Deseret News, but I write about these issues all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have looked quite a bit into your research. I find it extremely fascinating, as I am the first female station manager for this radio station. And it's a breath of fresh air to know that I'm not the only one in this situation. And I've noticed while I'm doing this position that I do, not to say govern, but I do lead in a different way. Could you talk a little bit about the difference between how women lead versus how men lead?
Yeah. Women often, we do lead in different ways in some ways, but there's really a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So there's, just like there's some girly girls and some tomboys, the same thing with men. Some, not all women are the same, not all men are the same. I was raised with six brothers, no sisters at all. So, and I played sports, so I'm probably, you know, if I have a continuum from one end to the other, I'm probably closer to the masculine. But still, even though I'm there, I tend to, you know, be more team-oriented in my leadership, more collaborative, trying to get more voices. Not all the time. I slip into my masculine of let's just get it done sometimes. And men, men tend to be more goal-oriented, more towards results-oriented in some ways, really want to push things faster. But I'll tell you more, the research is very clear now that that the best leadership style is really the combination and more towards how women have been leading for a long time, because that's what people want these days, especially in the United States. So it's fascinating to look at that. And sometimes I get into that masculine kind of more leadership, but I've also seen men who are incredibly collaborative as well and listen really well. And so it's not cut and dry. But I think as men really come out of that really dominant, you know, trying to force things, how we've seen leadership done for so many years. And leadership, you know, if you look at history, came out of war. I mean, dominating nations, protecting. So we really do have a masculine kind of sort of leadership. And one thing you'd find interesting is boys, even today, boys are socialized much more often to see themselves as future leaders than girls are. So sometimes, why don't girls want to lead? Why don't women want to lead? Well, it comes from a long history of socialization that, and I'm putting my hands up, quote marks, that women, you know, do this, men do this, and leadership is more masculine. And that's how we see it played out a lot of times. But as we know, so many women can be really strong leaders as well.
Oh, yeah. So with that in mind, knowing that a lot of the times women aren't going to push to the front saying, I'll be the leader, how do we start creating a little bit of the culture so that women don't feel threatened to take that position?
Well, one of the biggest things is we have to have women leading right now. So we have to have role models. We have to have mentors and sponsors who are women. And so if girls are being raised in high school, in elementary school, in high school, and also college, if you're not seeing women at the top, and here at Utah State University, you do see a woman at the top, right? But if you don't see women in your field, the research is quite clear that you just don't picture yourself. You can picture yourself maybe being in certain roles, but not necessarily in top roles. So that's one of the biggest things that we start with is let's get women currently, like right now, in those leadership roles. If it's city councils, let's get more women on those city councils so that girls and young women can see themselves doing that. And that's really important. And then there's actual things that we can do. In fact, I did a TEDx talk, in February, and it's called Raising Girls to be Leaders. So if anybody's interested, you can look that up on TEDx Bountiful, actually. And it gives some tips on how we can raise girls. And I say girls, not daughters, specifically because, of course, we can raise our own daughters, but it takes a community, right? And so educators help raise kids in certain ways, neighbors, sisters and brothers, people that just see you and talk to you, you know, in the school, all of those people can help raise, I'm putting my fingers in quote marks, girls to be leaders. So it's really interesting. The research is so interesting when you look back on the patterns of socialization, even in homes, the differences between boys and girls. Let me give you one example. Is that okay?
Yes.
One example, the research on negotiation. So sometimes people say, well, men are just so better negotiators than women. Okay, first of all, what the research is clearly saying, and it still happens today, that in our homes, generally, boys are paid for their chores. They mow the lawn. They're actually given money. And girls, even in the same homes, are asked to do things more inside, but they're not paid. And so that, when you start that at age 5, 6, 7, 12, 16, you're getting the flow here. Then girls are socialized, I should just do these things for free and I shouldn't ask for money. And boys are like, hey, pay me. Give me money. I deserve money. And so then you get to the workplace and you all of a sudden expect that young women are right out of college are going to say, hey, I'm going to negotiate. I want more money. Because that is not what they've been taught. Now, even worse, if you or I are their boss, and more men are bosses, right? But even women. And someone comes up, you come up to me and say, hey, I deserve this. I'm going to negotiate. In the back of my mind, unconsciously, without you even knowing, I'm going to be thinking, what is wrong with her? Like, why is she asking? That's weird. She should not be asking all these things. And there's this dissonance that we're not sure what's going on, when in reality, if a man right out of college came and did the same thing, we would not have that dissonance. Is this making sense?
Oh, yeah. It's making a lot of sense. I'm actually going to have Meredith Thompson on from the business school.
She's great.
For the next podcast after this, to talk a little bit about negotiation in general. But she brought up a lot of the gender bias when it comes to negotiation, how women don't want to speak out and grab what's on the table that's there for them just because we don't feel like we deserve it sometimes.
Yeah. There's both ends. There's really that internal work that we need to do with women. But if we only help strengthen, let's teach you how to negotiate, let's help you get more confidence. There really is a difference between boys and girls and confidence. We could talk about that if you'd like. But so that's good. We need to do that. But if we're only doing that and we're not looking at culture, if we're not looking at systems and processes that are in place that really discriminate, and that many of them do, in fact, many companies are really masculine in design, but it's invisible. People don't understand even what I say when I say masculine culture versus feminine culture. People don't even, they're like, what? It's just a culture. Mm-hmm. But there's really a difference, and it's quite subtle, but most businesses and most organizations are just made for structures more for men, and women that tend to be successful in those masculine cultures, honestly, they're women who, for instance, in the United States, over 90% of women who are top CEOs were in sports in high school and in college. Or speech and debate, those kinds of things, because they're used to failing, they're used to being competitive, so they work better in the masculine environment. But most women have a bit of a different culture; they don't connect to some of those, and so that's in the workplace. That's why often tech companies will hire women; they're all excited, and then the women will leave. They're like, "Why? What?" And the women are like, well, it doesn't have a fit with me. It doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. I love this conversation that we're having right now. I'm in a class called Gender Narratives and How They Lie with Statistics.
Oh.
And so this is the kind of stuff that we've been talking about, is the socialization of girls and boys this week.
Have you read Invisible Women? Have you gotten to that book yet?
I haven't yet.
Oh, my gosh. It will open your eyes. You'll have to read it during the Thanksgiving holiday. Maybe not right now when you have a million classes going on. But it really goes through how invisible women are in data, any kind of data, decisions in planning, in communities, even a chapter on snow plowing. Snow plowing can be very gendered, the planning around even snow plowing. So you would like that book. Invisible Women is the book. There's a lot of interesting books as well. One other I'll recommend to you on, we haven't really talked in depth about confidence, but it's so fascinating to look at socialization and some biology and the difference between boys and girls and men and women on confidence. And there's a book called The Confidence Code. Authors are Kay and Shipman, that will open your eyes and are helpful. Some people say, well, especially men, well, why do I need to read this? But I have had so many fathers go and read this because they want to know how to strengthen their daughters. And we all impact boys, girls, men and women, whether they're brothers or sisters or cousins or people, you know, if we coach a basketball team or whatever. So I think it's good for my argument is everybody should read these books.
Yeah, I know. There's so many books I want to get to. Oh, man. If I could just have a library.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I guess if there's something you could take out of the confidence code and kind of give it to people who might be needing it, what's one thing that you really took out of it?
So one thing that women struggle with, that's good for women to know that they struggle with, are two things. And I see this play out a lot in the state of Utah, I have to say. And that is perfectionism. Women are way more perfectionistic than men are. I know some men that really struggle with perfectionism. And some people think, oh, that's a great thing. Actually, true perfectionism is not a great thing. And that is because if you're too perfectionistic, then you just don't get things done because you're trying to get everything perfect. And boys are socialized early on to fail more. And girls are trying to be perfect, and they keep quiet and raise their hand, and they get praise, and they seek for praise. And so perfectionism actually means you have less confidence because you don't act. So confidence, you can only get confidence from acting. You can get some self-esteem by your mind, like saying, I'm a valuable person. You can say that. You can't get more confidence by just thinking. You actually have to act. Therefore, you fail more. Therefore, if you're a perfectionist, you don't want to act. Are you following my logic here?
Yes.
And so
yes.
It takes action to get confidence. If you're a perfectionist, you wait. I need to study a little more. I need to work on this paper a little more. I'm not done. I can't put it in unless it's perfect. Therefore, we don't act as much. Therefore, we can't get confidence. The second thing, and by the way, the best thing that women can learn to do on that first one is to learn how to be self-compassionate. Because if you beat yourself up and say, oh, I'm not good enough, and we say that a lot as women, then we actually don't keep acting. But if we can say, you know what, I did the best I can. I'm good. That's self-compassion. I really tried hard. That's the best I could do. I'm moving on. That kind of thing actually means you act more and get more confidence. The second thing is that men and women, shocker, are made different. We have different neurotransmitters, different hormones, and different things. So one thing women are cursed with and blessed with, mostly cursed with, is that we ruminate. So ruminate, more than men, we do this. Ruminate means that we spin in our heads on things. So if someone came up to me and my husband and said something really rude, my husband in a minute will be so over it. And if I'm not watching myself, I would like 5 minutes later, like, oh my gosh, that sucks. You know, that was like so bad. And then about an hour later, I'm like, oh man, that I should have said this and I should have said this. And then the next morning, we're like, oh my gosh, that, you know, we're still on this issue. And the men have already moved on so long ago. And we waste a lot of time with those kinds of things. So we just have to, what the research says is that decreases our confidence. And that makes sense, right? If we're just second-guessing ourselves, then it decreases our confidence. So there's many tools that we can use, but one of them I really do physically say to myself, 3 minutes, then I'm moving on, and I'm going to forget it. And I've got really pretty good at that through the years. I don't let it bug me like it used to. So those are just two of like hundreds of things, but I think those are two that really connect to women and men who who are married to women, have girlfriends. They're like, what is the wrong with them? And then women are saying, what's wrong with those men? Why are they not caring about this issue? The greatest thing is my experience and the research says that the more we understand about gender differences, now you might think the opposite, but the more we can actually gender stereotype less, the more we can actually understand the gifts that men have and the gifts of women, the differences, so that we can say, you know, when we work together, let's value these differences. We can actually make better decisions, more complex decision-making when men and women work together. And when we understand, okay, this is going to happen if we have all men. Okay, we have a woman in the room. She may do things differently, but you know what? That's going to make it better. So does that make sense? Instead of judging, the more we know about the differences, the more we can say, oh, let's value that. So sometimes people think the opposite on that, but more research I've read supports what I just said.
Yeah. It's interesting to switch that into having a more inclusive yet diverse culture.
Yeah.
It's an interesting switch.
Well, and there's just so much evidence. It's really a no-brainer these days when you have diversity, you know, in companies, let's say, you have more innovation, you have more creativity, you have better problem solving, more collective intelligence than just a bunch of people that are fairly similar. And so gender does shake things up. It makes a difference.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's something I needed to hear, because I have actually been working on my perfectionistic tendencies for a year now, and that's kind of one of the things that had me start this podcast, is because I said, okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm going to hate putting them out, but I'm going to put them out.
Well, good for you. And, you know, if we can let girls fail earlier, in tech it's called, you know, failing fast, mm-hmm. because you learn. But a lot of times fathers and mothers, they protect their daughters more because they don't want them to get hurt. I was just reading some research about this earlier this week. And you know, they just throw the boys to the wolves. But actually you think, okay, 20 years later, they're in the workplace. So boys have been socialized to take criticism because they're actually in elementary school criticized 8 times more than girls. And so what they learn to do is, oh, I'm going to throw out my idea. If people bat it down, I'm fine. And then girls are socialized to perfectionism. Like they get their praise from being quiet, obeying, waiting to raise their hand, you know, till someone calls on them. But 20 years later, boys or men, you know, in the workplace, people criticize them. They're okay. They just move forward. They keep doing their stuff. And girls and who become women, they wait for their turn. And sometimes it never comes, right? So learning to take criticism, learning to be failure and just stand up. That's why sports and like speech and debate is so good to prepare, because you learn how to fail. You learn that you get up and you just do it the next time instead of this perfectionistic. So I'm glad this is a useful conversation for you.
Oh, yes. I have loved this conversation. I ask this question to everyone that comes on. What is one thing that you would tell your younger self?
Oh, I like that. I would tell my younger self to just not judge yourself so harshly, I think. Because in my mind, through the years, especially probably till about 10 years ago, maybe even 8 years ago, I really kept thinking, okay, I'm in my hands right now are in a box. I'm like, okay, this is what a really great mom looks like. Or this is what, I happen to be a Latter-day Saint myself. This is what a good Latter-day Saint woman looks like. And I kept trying to hold myself to this box that most other people that I felt were good in this category look like. And what I've realized through the years is, you know, I'm very religious and spiritual, that God needs me. He didn't make me wrong. He made me different because He needs my voice. He needs my brain. He needs my heart to do things in ways that I've not seen examples before. I would have told myself to just do for me what God was telling me to do and not worry about anybody else and not worry about this box that I'm not the perfect mom because I hate cooking and I don't like cleaning and I want to hire other people to do those things. But just take the strengths and talents that you have been given, if you believe in a higher power or you've taken for yourself or whatever beliefs you're at, and do something with those. And don't worry about, just go with what you feel in your heart, what you feel your mind is telling you to do. Because you can serve and you can lift people in so many different ways. And it's so much better if everyone discovers their own strengths and then amplifies those to really do good for everyone around them. Thank you.
Thank you. And what is the website called again?
So my project is called the Utah Women in Leadership Project, and I'm Susan Mattson. And the URL, the easy URL, is utwomen.org. And if you would like to sign up for our monthly newsletter, we just send one. You'll get it straight from me. You can just subscribe right on the homepage. And we've got some, we've got some good events that you'll need to join. We have one in November. I can't remember the date. I think it might be the 11th. And it's called Feeling Like a Fraud. So it talks about imposter syndrome and perfectionism. And I have three fabulous women who are very, very like Amy Winder Newton. She just ran for governor. And another one worked for Governor Herbert as his main communication person, and then a judge. So these are women who are really highly accomplished, but I think you'll want to join us.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to tune in. But thank you so much for coming on again.
Thanks.
Dr. Mattson. I hope you have a wonderful drive home.
Thanks so much.
Hey, it's Sierra, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope it led you to a more positive mindset, a more defined view of leadership, and some action items to take along with you. Don't forget to subscribe and download today's episode, and then post it to your Instagram or Facebook story and tag us at sierra.benson and Shaneco to enter into the planner giveaway that I've partnered with Shaneco on. For more information, you can check out the Moxie website at themoxiemindset.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and I'll see you next week on The Moxie Mindset.